Jesus, what a blessing. Beautiful song. Thank you, Chuck and Debbie. Appreciate that. Well, it's good to have Justin, Angel, and Jeffrey back visiting for the holidays, and I know they had a good time with their family, and I have asked Justin to come and preach to us. Brother Raymond, you come.
Very good. It is so good to see you. And I've just enjoyed just sitting up here on the platform and watching everybody kind of trickle in. A little tired from yesterday, aren't you? How many of you are feeling a little bit today? Let's take a poll. Let's find out here. If you or your kids got you up yesterday morning, 9 o'clock or earlier, raise your hand. 9 o'clock or earlier, raise your hand. Let's find out who really is hurting here this morning. All right, keep your hands up. 8 o'clock or earlier. Nice and high. I want to find out who was up the earliest. 8 o'clock or earlier. 7 o'clock or earlier. Ooh, far too many hands. 7 o'clock or earlier. 6 o'clock. All right, I've still got a couple. Ooh, quite a few. 6 o'clock. All right, let's go by half hour now. 5:30 or earlier, you were up yesterday morning. Anybody? 5:30? Anybody wave at a couple fellow sufferers? All right, 5:30. Okay, 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock? Steve Poor, 5 o'clock? No, okay. You only think 5 o'clock happens once a day, don't you? Me too, brother. 5 o'clock. Wow. Chad, how early? 3? 3? Now, were you the dad of the year and let him stay up, or did you send him back to bed? Wow. Wow. You get the Coffee for a Year award right there, brother. That's amazing. We are loving having a 2-year-old. He slept until 10 yesterday. We get cleaned up. We have breakfast and all. It's awesome. It's tremendous. So it is so good to be here, though, this morning. Good to be back in the United States. We're enjoying our time down in Tampa. And wow. Wow, do I miss you. I miss Adrian. I miss America. And I tell you, Tampa is another place, let me say. We're having such a wonderful time. Many of you have been so kind. I know many of you folks have mentioned before about how you're praying for my family and I. We certainly do need it. What a tremendous opportunity we have down in Tampa at Westgate Baptist. And Pastor Pert, our new pastor, just doing a phenomenal job down there. And we've just been so blessed. The Lord, He's been so good to us there. We've seen folks saved. And just give you an idea of what it's like down there as far as just really just the fields white unto harvest. When we first got there, Pastor Pert has a fantastic soul winning program called ACTS. It's an acronym. I still don't know what all the letters mean, but I know I'm on the C team, which I think is a good thing. And but anyway, so you know, the folks go out door to door and just handing out tracts, inviting folks. If there's a good prospect, then it gets transferred over to the C team, and then we go and try to win them to the Lord, and then we try to get them to church and all that. It's just been such a wonderful, wonderful year of seeing folks saved. We had a couple teenagers, as a matter of fact, that somebody went and visited them. Oh boy, a good prospect. They really need to get plugged into the youth group. And so my wife and I went and visited with them and actually started bringing them to church ourselves. Westgate does have a couple of bus routes, but we thought we'd just go ahead and bring them in ourselves. And through that and just through the preaching of God's word, one of the brothers was already saved, just had a real burden for his brother, said, you know, I've been trying to for months to see if he'd get saved, and I'm just really not sure I'm doing it right. I don't know what to say. And but he said, you know, I said, let's get him to church and see what the Lord will do. And so we were able to bring him. And he was able to get saved. I was actually able to lead him to the Lord during the invitation. And then we just found out just about last week that he and his brother, in fact, probably while we're here, are going to be moving back up to Pennsylvania. And so it's just interesting that the Lord just allowed us to cross their paths for that young brother to be saved. And we probably won't have any more contact with him now until we get to heaven. But we'll see him in heaven. And that's what it's all about. That's the kind of stuff we're enjoying down in Tampa and seeing the church grow. I think last Sunday, just typically, you know, a lot of folks traveling. We had 10 visitors on Sunday. And so the Lord is bringing folks our way, and we're so excited about that. And we'd love to have you come visit. And come. Now, we don't have a house yet, so don't try to to stay with us. We're still staying in an apartment. We just had no time to look for housing. But we're having such a wonderful time. And we've enjoyed it thoroughly. We've just enjoyed being here for the week. Thank you so much for providing the snow for us. And even last evening, just having it snow and all that was just such a blessing. And thank you for being a church family to, of course, Dad and to John and Adam and the girls and all that. And, of course, Jay and Colleen and Jacob are here today, and glad for that. I just love family. I love family. I love my church family, and I miss you dearly. And let's just get a huge bus and just come down to Tampa and see what's going on down there, huh? And certainly during these winter months, it's like, I see the wheels turning. That's good. That's good. It certainly is good to be here. Thank you so much again for just being my home for all these years. I'll always be a part of Bream Baptist Church, and better yet, Bream Baptist Church is always going to be a part of me. And anything I do for the Lord from now till the rapture, which I think is soon, to be because of what I got here. 29 years spent here. And just what a blessing it is to be here and to see just so many familiar faces and smiling while your eyes are closed. And the heat's working in here, I'll tell you. Down where we're living in our apartment, they don't even have any heat in the building. There's not even a furnace. And we need one. It's been cold. So we're keeping things going with space heaters for sure. But it's just so good. I just want to sit here and chit-chat with you, but I'm supposed to be preaching. So let's get to it, huh? 2 Timothy, please, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Helps if we get to the right text. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we are going to be leaving right here from church and driving over to Detroit Metro and catching a plane. So I am going to be conscious of the time for my sake and maybe for your sake too. And but again, we hope to maybe have a few minutes afterwards and just to say hi to everybody before we head on our way. Not sure when we'll be able to come back. We're taking a good full 2 weeks here, flying over to Louisiana next. And going to go see them for about a week or so and spend New Year's with him. And then flying back into Tampa and get right back into the second semester and excited about that. But just so good to see you again. And I love you so much. And looking forward to hearing great things continuing here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." 2 Timothy 3, 14, "Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." I want us to think for a few minutes this morning about verse 15. And it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." You sure can learn a lot from your kids, can't you? Boy, I tell you what a time we have had. Jeffrey now is a little over 2.5 years of age. And he'll be quick to tell you, "Hey, Jeffrey, how old are you?" "I'm 2. And that's okay. And he's not in school yet. But we're just having such a wonderful time. My, what you can learn from your children. And if you're not learning from your children, you're missing out for sure. I tell you what, though, we have certainly learned a lot from our little 2-year-old. And we didn't, of course, have time to get an insert together or anything like that for you. But if you're going to take notes or whatever, I suppose you could title this, "What My 2-Year-Old Has Taught Me About Being a Christian." What My 2-Year-Old Has Taught Me About Being a Christian. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you so much again for our church. Thank you so much for Berean and what it's meant to our family. We love it here. We love these folks. This is our family. Always will be. Always will be. And we can't wait to get to heaven now and see our family. And we can't wait to have our Westgate family and our Berean family together and never have to say goodbye. And we can just spend eternity rejoicing together over victories here on earth and relationships that are restored in heaven. And what a wonderful time that'll be. Thank you so much for Christmas. That's how it all started, with the birth of that baby in the manger. And Lord, of course, ending on the cross and rising from the grave. And we enjoy salvation because of it. And so, Father, it's my heart's desire today to be a blessing to your people. And, Father, we just want to be a help today. And so, in the short time that we've had to kind of prepare this, I believe it's something that's been a help to me, been a blessing to me. And I pray that it would be a help to your church today. And, Father, I pray that if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that is not sure that they're on their way to heaven, this is the saving place. This is the place where the gospel will be presented and offered. And I pray that your Holy Spirit even now would begin to work on their hearts. And at the invitation time, they'll have a chance to respond and that we can rejoice in their getting saved this morning. And so speak to your word as you promised you would, and we'll thank you for it. For Christ's sake, amen. I tell you what, one of the great joys of my life has been to be a parent. I love it. I really do. Jeffrey is 2.5, which typically we know the stereotype is, what kind of 2 is that? Terrible, terrible. You can admit it. That's what they say. Hey, so far, so good. Now, he's all of two, don't get me wrong. And we might share some examples that way. We love being a parent. By the way, let me just put out my little disclaimer here. I'm going to keep using the words me, I. But obviously, without my wife, none of this is going well. And I tell you what, she's just been a blessing. Jeffrey, very obviously, would not be here without my wife. And but I tell you what, so I'm going to say a lot of me and I, but don't think for a minute that I'm a glory hog. We know exactly where the glory goes, and that's to Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, the Lord has given me just such a wonderful teammate in Angel, and she's just been such a blessing. And hey, I want to brag on you for a second. And she's just been an amazing mom and wife, and of course, with all that we've had to do, and you know, moving 2 25-foot Penske trucks down to Tampa. And most of that is still in 2 storage units, and we're just living in a very small apartment, but Angel has taken that and made it into a home, and I tell you what, she's just done a phenomenal job. So as I speak this morning, I'm going to use a lot of my own illustrations here, but certainly I wanted to make it crystal clear that it's obviously with my wife with me that the Lord is blessing, and I want to make that crystal clear from the beginning. But what a joy it is to be a parent. What a joy it is to be a daddy, especially. We enjoyed Christmas morning yesterday. Of course, we were able to bring a lot of things with us. And I'm not going to tell you what we got, Jeffrey, but it is waiting at home because some of you probably go tell him. And then he's going to nag me for the next week to get home to see it. And he's going to be pretty excited. But since we obviously flew in and are flying to Louisiana, we couldn't bring a lot with us. We brought a little bit and enjoyed watching him open that yesterday. Isn't it typical, too? He opened up all of his stuff, and you know what he wanted? He wanted his cousin's stuff. And so all day, he went, I want the Slinky. It's like, Slinky? I could have gone to the Dollar Tree and gotten you a Slinky. Why didn't you tell me this earlier? And we would have bought all the other things if it was just a Slinky. And we could have had that thing down. And one of my nephews, he's into the Star Wars thing and lightsabers and all that. So he and Jeffrey had a good time, you know, doing lightsabers all over the house. And I think they only broke about 3 ornaments and a couple of the things we don't have the heart to tell Dad about. And but they had a great time yesterday. It's just great to be a parent. But I tell you what, I've learned a lot. And so that's what I want to share with you just for a few minutes this morning. Some things I've learned from my 2-year-old about being a Christian. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 7, shall we? Jeremiah chapter 7. And let's take a look at some different passages here this morning about what the Bible has to say. And some things I've learned. What my 2-year-old has taught me about being a Christian, first of all, number one, he knows that his first job is to obey. He knows that his first job is to obey. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 21. The Bible says, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Watch now, obey my voice, I'll be your God. Ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. I tell you what, one of the things I've learned from my 2-year-old, obedience, job one. Now, if you did your Bible reading and all that, and you read your Bible through in a year and all that, probably the first few months, once you got past Exodus and you started getting into Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and learning about all those sacrifices and all the things that they had to do. Hey, aren't you glad you don't have to go through that anymore? Boy, praise the Lord for that. And God even said that. He said, look, he said, I wasn't nearly so worried about that as I wanted what I want them to do. I wanted them to hearken unto my voice and obey what it is I told them to. 2 songs that are very popular around our house. They get sung multiple times throughout the week. I will obey the first time I'm told. I will obey right away. Now, I said they get sung. I didn't say they get followed. And sometimes Jeffrey, unfortunately, is a 2-year-old. And after he and I have some quality time together, and, you know, typically that song comes up. And what's even more kind of humorous is while he's disobeying, he sings that song. And, you know, I was like, I think we're missing something here. And obedience, I remember when we first started teaching him the song Obedience. And obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And we go through the whole song. He was too young. He couldn't do it all. His big part was, yes, sir. And we still don't have that down either. And but we love to sing those songs. And we're trying to, he can sing them both now. He's got it now. The songs. The obedience, it's definitely a process for sure. But here's one of the things right now. His number one job as my son, as our son, his number one job is to obey. That's what he's supposed to be doing. That's what he's supposed to be doing. And we have two things, two phrases I use constantly. Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings blessing. You're in Jeremiah. You want to flip over to Isaiah? Should just be, if your Bible was printed right, it should be the book next to it. And so Isaiah chapter 1, if not, go to the bookstore. Wait a minute, I'm not in charge of that anymore, never mind. And Isaiah chapter 1, no need to plug. And Isaiah chapter 1, and let's look at verse 18. Obedience brings blessing. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18 saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So those are one of the two phrases we have in our family is obedience brings blessing. Jeffrey's two. Boy, is he two. And we try to instruct him and teach him the right way. I just try to do all the, you know, these different things. You know, we typically go shopping together as a family and all that. We like to just to spend the time together, to be honest with you. And oftentimes, you know, I'll encourage my wife, hey, you go check some things out. I'll just kind of watch Jeffrey. And so we'll play this little game. And, you know, a lot of times we'll say Target, for instance, you know, and Jeffrey will be right here by Daddy. And, you know, boy, what is it about this shopping cart? They just hate the shopping cart. What's the big deal about that? I love it. There's a couple grocery stores where the shopping cart's a race car. He's like, that was a good move. And I'll pay to rent that thing, man. And because he like, you know, and so we come close to hitting people and all that. And so we like that. But sometimes, you know, some of the stores don't have the race car. So then we're stuck. And so a lot of times, you know, we'll be walking around with Jeffrey and just kind of looking for something to do. And so we'll just try to do a little, you know, a little training on the spot. And all right, Jeffrey, all right, you see that red thing over there? All right, I want you to go over there and touch that and come back to Daddy, okay? There he goes. That didn't go so well. And hang on just for a second. You know, you run and get him. No, that thing right there, you know. And so I let him go and see, he'll run over and he'll touch it and then he'll come back and it touch Daddy's leg. That's what I call it. Touch Daddy's leg. And so then he'll come back and he'll hit my leg. All right, that was pretty good. All right, let's see. All right, see that right there? Go. No. You know, and then I can't page him because my wife will hear and then I'm dead meat. And so I've got him. You know, where is he? You know, and, you know, so I get him. Okay, that didn't go so well. Let's try it again, you know. And so back and forth we go. Well, we're trying. We're doing our best. A lot of times we like to do incentives. When it comes to obedience, hey, you know, buddy, I tell you, you've done such a great job today. We're going to do this, and you know, you can't have a cookie for breakfast. No, not really. And you know, but we'll do different things. You know, there's this place over in Orlando. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of it or not. It's called Walt Disney World, and we've gone there a couple times now, actually four since August. But anyway, so but we're not addicted by any means. And, but there's this other, you know, kind of a shopping area and all that. Well, they got us. Jeffrey is a train crazed child. He loves trains. And so they've got this little oval train set up. It's like $2 and he can ride around it like six times. And he's like, you know, and, you know, so, all right, look, buddy, you know, let's do a really good job and obey and all these kind of things. Hey, you did a great job. We're going to go ahead and ride the train. Oh, you know, and he's all about riding. Man, he's always got to ride in the engine. You know, he's a bit of a control hog. And, you know, he's got to ride in the engine and all that kind of thing. And we have a good time with it. Oh, well, you ought not use incentives, you know, to get your children to obey. That's funny because the Bible seems like it's full of incentives to obey. And one thing I've learned from our two-year-old is, you know, his number one job right now is to obey mommy and daddy. Might save his life. Very possibly he's going to save his life. We all grieved over the one family, and I think it was in this area that, you know, the child ran down the steps of the front porch, and I think it was the grandmother called out to him, and he thought it was a joke, ran right onto the street, got hit by a car and killed. every time I hear that story, my stomach just kind of gets in a knot. We've all been there, haven't we? And it's like, please don't let that happen to my child. Obedience, that's how important it is. That's how important it is. And obedience brings blessing. And we'll do things like that for Jeffrey. You know, we'll give him an extra cookie maybe. And dad's eating an extra one anyway. And, we'll let him ride the train or something like that. And we want him to realize obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings loss of freedom. That's what else we say. Disobedience brings loss of freedom. If we are in the store and Jeffrey runs off when he's not supposed to, you know what happens? Jeffrey ends up typically getting held. I don't know about you. I don't know too many two-year-olds that are pumped about that. Mine's not. It's like trying to hold a wildcat. Or better yet, a bobcat. Go BBA. Can you believe this? Now, by the way, just this. Yeah. Can you? You know what Westgate's, you know what their mascot is? This is awful. It's the Patriots. If I had any hope of a love offering, it just went out right then, didn't it? Can you believe that? We're the Patriots. Oh, well, God forgive us. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Disobedience brings captivity, right. We'll hold him in our arms, and he doesn't like that. And I'll tell him, hey, look, you disobey, you lose your freedom. You disobey, you lose your freedom. Haven't we all been there? It's not invitation time yet, but we probably could just start right now, huh? Boy, I tell you what, it's true. It's true. I've been there. So have you. I tell you what, you sure can learn a lot from a two-year-old. I remember a fella down in Pensacola. This story breaks my heart even to this day. Boy, just every once in a while you come across somebody, they've just got everything going for them, don't they? This was one of those guys, tall, athletic. He was part of the basketball team. Good looking from what the girls told me. And I'm not going to say it. But he's just a sharp, sharp guy. Seemed like very, very popular. You say his name and everybody on campus knew who he was and all that kind of thing. And maybe had a little bit too much going for him. It was, I believe, over summer break. We got together afterwards for the fall semester. And where is that guy? Where is that guy? Oh, you didn't hear? Oh, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Really, what happened? Well, come to find out that during one of the summer breaks, and I don't know the whole story, and I don't want to, he kind of got wrapped up in a little bit with the alcohol and all that kind of thing. And he had one of those racing motorcycles. And I guess he'd been drinking a little bit, and of course the tendency, obviously, on a racing motorcycle is to exceed the speed limit by just a little bit. And I guess that was him. He was going along, and so the police started to chase him. And he, with his judgment being slurred for sure, decided, I'm going to outrun him, which typically with a motorcycle, they're certainly fast, but definitely not safe. And so he tried to outrun the police. And in doing so, as he was approaching an intersection, we've all seen this, unfortunately, haven't we? A car pulled out, and as it did, his motorcycle hit the hood of the car and just threw him. Just threw him. And don't even remember if he had a helmet or not, but the impact and the speed was so great, the accident essentially killed him. People talked about it afterwards for quite some time. Again, he was pretty popular on campus. And one of my professors, in more of a personal time, certainly not to disparage him in any way, said, you know what? Sometimes as a parent, have you ever done this before? Your child just will not obey. So what do you end up having to do to them? You just take them and you physically put them right there beside you, don't you? Have you ever had to do that before? I know we have. And sometimes I know God sometimes has to do that to us, doesn't he? We disobey. We don't do what we're supposed to. And essentially, what does God have to do? Hey, if you're not going to obey me, the safest place for you to be then is right beside me. And he takes us home. Disobedience can bring loss of freedom. Can bring loss of freedom. And I submit, as we kind of reminisce a little bit about 2010 and look to 2011, how good has your year been? How good have you obeyed this year? How was your Bible reading? How was your prayer time? How was your soul winning? Just ask yourself some of the hard questions. I got to tell you, you can learn a lot from a two-year-old. His number one job is obedience. Can I tell you something? We know the scriptures. What does the Bible say? To obey is better than sacrifice. I think Saul actually had good intentions, to be honest with you. I think he thought he was doing a good thing by offering the sacrifice, and I think a lot of times we do too, but you know what? You know what God says? You know what I want most of all? Your obedience. Your obedience. Wow. Obedience is his number one job. That's one of the things I've learned
There's a couple more, and let's just take a look at them for a second. And Psalm chapter 61, let's go over to Psalm chapter 61, I'm trying to keep all the passages here kind of close together. Psalm chapter 61. He knows that his first job is to obey. Number two is found in Psalm chapter 61 and verse 1. Psalm 61:1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. First of all, he knows his first job is to obey. Secondly, he knows who to come to when he needs help. Jeffrey knows who to come to when he needs help. He's kind of a scaredy in some ways. It's interesting. He loves fireworks until he has a chance to see them. And he's not so pumped. And you can ask him now, oh, you know, he'll see a picture. Ooh, look at the fireworks. Does Jeffrey like fireworks? No. And they make loud noise and all that kind of thing. And he doesn't like that. And we were up for about an hour and a half last night. What was that? What was that? What was that noise? What was that noise? It's like, I think that's called life. You know, that's the floor creaking, that's the furnace coming on, that's cars going by, that's my breathing. You know, I'm pretty, I can't stop all those things, not successfully. And, you know, so he's kind of at that stage. And so as we first moved into our apartment and all that, of course, different from his room and everything. And so, you know, we had his crib in a separate room and all that. And so, you know, and, oh, mommy, daddy, and all that, we come in. And so now we start saying, now who watches over us? Who keeps us safe? Jesus keeps us safe. And so that, you know, Jesus keeps us safe. And so now, Jesus keeps us safe. Do you want to go see fireworks? No, they're scary. But Jesus keeps us safe. And, you know, it's like, okay, we're getting there. And, you know, but boy, you can learn a lot, can't you? You know, but Jesus keeps us safe. Well, there's a couple things about it. He knows who he can go to. And notice what the passage says here, verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. I love verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. He said, it doesn't matter where I am, Lord, I will cry to you. I know where my help comes from. I know where my hope comes from. I know where my salvation comes from. Lord, it comes from you. It comes from you. Boy, I wish we'd get this. If 2010 has done anything for our family, it's just really, you know what? Our dependence is just completely on Jesus Christ. We don't have a chance without him. With all that's going on, my mom going to heaven and her father going to heaven and our moving down to Tampa and Jasmine's surgery and all the different things that we've going on and the selling of our house and all that. Lord, we're just completely dependent on you. There's nobody else that is going to be able to take care of us like you can take care of us. You know what? My 2-year-old believes the same thing about his daddy. He knows who to come to when he needs help. He believes that his father can do anything. No pressure. He believes his father can do anything. I love what Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 says. But with God, all things are possible. I've got a son that believes that. Now, you know, we're going to transfer that trust as quickly as possible to Jesus Christ. But he believes that. You know, he's all about trains. He's got several battery-powered trains. When it starts to slow down, you know what he does? He's coming to Daddy. Daddy, Daddy, fix this. And, okay, we've got a bag devoted solely to batteries. One thing could not stay in storage, our bag of batteries. And, you know, so Daddy gets out the screwdriver and all that. And, hurry, Daddy, fix it, Daddy, fix it, Daddy. And so, all right, you know, throw the batteries away and put in the new ones and all that and put it back on. And they, hey, Daddy fixed it, yay. It's short-lived. And then we move on to something else. But Daddy changes the batteries. Fix it, Daddy. Daddy finds a super glue, and after he's done sticking 3 of his fingers together, then he finally fixes the toy and gives it back. You know, Daddy fixes things. Daddy changes dead batteries. Daddy finds lost toys. We've been staying, of course, with my dad while we've been here, and he's got several boxes of toys and all that. And so Jeffrey was looking for a particular toy even just a couple days ago. And, oh, come on, Cubby, let's go find that toy. So we went into the room, and we're digging through, and, oh, there it is. And so there you go, Jeffrey. And, yay, Daddy found it. And he went down the hallway, and my wife said, oh, yeah, look what I found. It's like, look what you found. I found that thing, you know. And what are you talking about? We're just like him. And, you know, but we have a tendency to do that, don't we? And daddies make things right. They fix things, don't they? He believes that his father can do anything. He believes his father wants to give him good gifts. I love what Matthew 7:11 says. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. Boy, that was yesterday morning, huh? How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Wow. He knows who to come to. Jeffrey knows who to. He comes running to mom and dad. You know, last night, he woke up a little bit last night and he was a little scared and all that kind of thing. And he wasn't calling for his uncles. He wasn't calling for, call the nursery worker. No. He was calling for mommy and daddy. He knows. He knows where his help comes from. He knows when he needs something. And, Jeffrey, for weeks, he's starting to learn the whole Christmas thing. We read Luke chapter 2 and all that. But when you've got a 2-year-old, it's like speed reading, isn't it? I mean, 20 verses. Because he's about ready to explode, if you don't hurry him, so we read Luke chapter 2, so he's getting an understanding of it, but we knew this year it was going to be all about trains, specifically Thomas the Train, and wow, that was a, you've all been there, I take it, huh? We should have just asked you and got yours, and instead of going out and buying it ourselves, and but we got him some train sets and all this kind of stuff, and we called dad, and hey, you should buy this, and Jane Cullen, hey, you guys get this, and John and Adam, yeah, you guys get this, and all this kind of thing, and so we kind of spread the wealth a little bit so that Jeffrey could get all this train stuff and everything, so we kind of this little routine before he goes to bed and all that. Hey, what you going to dream about? And I'm going to dream about Christmas and trains. And all right, you go ahead. And for the longest time, people that he's two, hey, what's Santa going to bring you? A train. And all that's like, whew, I think we better get him one. But you know what? We had this arranged a long time ago. We've had it bought a long time ago. We've had that thing hidden a long time ago. But you know what? Jeffrey knows. He knows who to go to. He knows, and if you ask him, if we were to pull him out of the nursery right now, bring him in here, he of course would say nothing, because I'm saying this, but if you asked him, hey, Jeffrey, what do you want for Christmas? A train. What'd you get for Christmas? A train. And do you know why he does that? Because he believes we're going to give it to him. Can I tell you something? Don't tell him, but he's right. He is going to. Because even just like the Bible says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Wow. And see, he doesn't know this, but we kind of figured out the whole thing. All right, we're going to buy the big train set, and hey, how about you guys pick up this, and you guys pick up this. And his father did all the arranging, and it all has come together. Did you hear that? His father did all the arranging, and it all came together. Wow. Hey, you know what? Your father is doing all the arranging. And if you'll let him, it'll all come together. Hey, I got to tell you, we learned that in 2010. Wow. Our father did some pretty amazing arranging. Huge. Life-changing. But you know what, in the end? I give him all the glory for it because you know what? He's my father. He says, look, if you're going to do that for your child and you're going to buy him the train set and all that and he's all excited about that, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He knows who to come to when he needs help. And then finally, number three is back in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. Let's take a look at it. Proverbs chapter 23. And verse 24. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24. Some things my 2-year-old has taught me about being a Christian. He knows that his first job is to obey. Secondly, he knows who to come to when he needs help. And then number three, he wants to please me. He wants to please me. Look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24. I've circled these verses in my Bible. I've underlined them. I've got Jeffrey's name by it. I've got his birth date by it. I love this verse. Verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Jeffrey genuinely wants to please me. I love that about being a parent. I really do. He loves to try to put a smile on daddy's face. And Angel just does such a great job working with him and training him. And this year I got a homemade ornament from Jeffrey. I could tell because it was done really, really well. I could tell my wife did most of it. And but he was there and he was so proud of it. You know, kids spoil secrets, don't they? And I'd come home from work and all that, and we were going along and all that kind of stuff. And Jeffrey kept, you know, Daddy, you got to come see your ornament. And I was like, yeah, the tree's full of ornament. No, you got to come see your ornament. And Angel's like, shh, later. Kids spoil surprises, don't they? That's why you can't tell them anything, and because they'll spoil it. And so finally, Angel said, okay. And so she got out the little ornament that they'd made and all that. It was like, oh, this is great. I love it. And he's just all beaming with pride and smiles and all that. He loves to put a smile on daddy's face. He loves to. I've got pictures in my office, you know, down in Florida. We've had the chance to do nothing with it. I've still got boxes in there. I feel terrible. Well, I just don't have the time to fix it yet. And it needs painting and all that. And Dad's going to, you know, get my shelves put up and all that kind of thing. It's, unfortunately, everything's just kind of stacked in there right now. And so I've got all these nail holes all over the wall where the former administrator was. And he hung up all these pictures. So I'm just hanging up, you know, color pages. And the kids for my birthday, they made me all these cards. And so I've got about 50 cards hanging on my wall and all that. It's like, it looks good. You know, it's been a couple months, but it looks better than the blank wall. But now I've got all of Jeffrey's color pages. And, and all these scribbles on it. And Angel will take his hand and write out, you know, love Jeffrey and the date and all that. So I've got about four or five. Not very professional, but you know what? I love it. I love it. And I put it right there by my computer and all that because that's where I'm spending most of my time, it seems like. And every once in a while, I'll just kind of look up and I'll see those pictures. And it's like, oh, it's good. It's good. And coloring within the lines, he's not even coloring on the page. And I just kind of smile because, like, whoop, whoop, that's where the crayon went off all over the place. And he's actually doing a better job. He's getting the hang of it. But I love to see that. I love it. He colors me pictures. I'll get home. We've got a little stairway that we go to now to get up in. And oftentimes, you know, as I open the one door, the air pressure kind of makes the other door move. And so I'll do it, and I'll be coming up, and Jeffrey's knocking on the inside. You know, and so I'll get there, and I'll whip the door open, you know, and oh, hey, Daddy. And he hugs me and all that kind of stuff, and we have a good time. Usually he does that, except for when he's watching Thomas the Train. Then it's whatever. And, you know, but a lot of times he'll run to see me and all that kind of thing. And, boy, I tell you what, though, if he's doing something, if he's playing or drawing or on the playground, you remember, don't you, from your two-year-old, what's the famous line? Daddy, watch me. Daddy, watch me. And watch this. Oh, you know, too late, you know. And you cannot fly, you know, but Daddy, watch me. Daddy, watch me. And then it's paramedics, get me. No. And, you know, but Daddy, watch me. He loves to, you know, he's making sure Daddy's watching him because he loves to put a smile on Daddy's face. Then Psalm 16, verse 11, actually Revelation chapter 4. Verse 11, I love this verse. Revelation class, I had to squeeze this in there. For thy pleasure, the Bible says, they are and were created. For thy pleasure, they are and were created. Speaking about us. Not only does he love to put a smile on his daddy's face, but he loves to spend time with his father. You don't have to look at it. This will be the last passage, though. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, the Bible says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Where is it found? In Orlando! No, there's not fullness of joy. Usually things are empty by then, typically my wallet. And not in Orlando is fullness of joy. In sunny Florida! I talked to my pastor the other day, and he said, hey, brother, how's it going? And all that. I said, pretty good. He said, it's 72 degrees here. I said, I got about 2.5 inches of snow here. And he kind of laughed. He said, don't you miss it? And I was like, no, not really. I love the snow at Christmas time. He kind of had to rub it in a little bit. And all that. But hey, in sunny Florida is not found fullness of joy. In a big bank account is not found fullness of joy. Aren't you glad for that? And just you wait. MasterCard and Visa will find you next month. And they will tap into your accounts. And, you know, it's not found there. It's not found there. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Not the presence under the tree, but in his presence. is found fullness of joy. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, I'm so glad for that. I have several favorite times throughout the day. One of the times, though, is lunchtime for obvious reasons. But I get to go home for lunch. I get to go home for lunch, and I love to go home and see Angel and Jeffrey. I've got just a very short window of time. I've got class before lunch and a class right after lunch, so I can't spend too much time, but I love to get up there and eat up my sandwich and my chips and all that, and then just spend time together with them. And typically it turns into a wrestling match with Jeffrey and all that, and so I go back to class, and I've got, Dorito stains on my shirt and all that from where his face got driven into my chest or whatever, or, he'll give me a kiss, and then it's like, oh, yeah, barbecue, and all that kind of, hey, I'll take it. I love it. I love to spend time with that. I love to spend time with my wife. We've enjoyed thoroughly these last few months, just how much closer we've become. And I love to spend time. And Jeffrey loves to spend time with Daddy. Loves to spend time with Daddy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Wow. Tell you, we can learn a lot from a two-year-old, can't we? His first job, his primary job is to obey. So it's ours too. Our primary job is to obey. How'd you do this year? How was 2010 for you? Was it a year of obedience and blessing, or was it a year of, kind of captivity? Things didn't go so well. We ran from the Lord. We knew what we were supposed to do. We didn't really do it. We knew what we were supposed to give. We didn't really give. We did pretty good on our Bible reading till about 4 or 5 months, and then that kind of trailed off, and we never did pick up again. And man, we had great, great things, goals for our prayer time, and we never even got around to making the list. And man, I was going to win all these people to Christ this year, and we don't even show up on Thursdays. And I was going to do all these things, and we just didn't get around to it. 2010's gone. Our first job is to obey. Second thing I think we can learn is, we need to learn who to go to for help. It's not going to be the government. We're certainly not going to be relying on the government for help. As much as, it's a good thing for us to have one another and all that, but the fact of the matter is, there's needs that we have that can't be met by another person. Now, God can use other people for sure, but we need to learn our help comes from the Lord. We fall down and skin our knee, spiritually speaking. Let's quit running to everybody else. Let's start running to our Father. He can clean that thing up. He can get you back on track. And then the third thing is, we just need to learn. This just needs to be our focus in 2011. I just want to please Him. I just want to please Him. My son wants to please me. He loves to see Daddy smile. He does not love to see Daddy frown, because he knows quality time is about to happen. Why don't we just get to the point? We'd be much, much happier Christians if we would just, not get so hung up about the do's and the don'ts and just say, I just want to please Him. I just want to please my Father. I just want to please Jesus Christ. Let's quit doing it because we have to or because we're supposed to. Boy, let's start living, Lord, I just want to please You. I just want to do it because I know it'll bring a smile to Your face. Sure can learn a lot. Several weeks ago, as I mentioned, we've got a stairway that leads to our apartment. And several weeks ago, Jeffrey, got about to the second stair, and I'm not sure still what happened. His shoe caught or whatever, and he fell down the stairs, about 6 of them. And, we were upset about it. Of course, he's crying. You're worried about it. He's hitting his head and all that kind of thing, And so, he's crying and, we're making sure that everything's okay. And it obviously was and all that kind of thing. And, but you know what? It was so interesting. This was so good. And about a couple days later, we've got like a little ice machine in the lobby there, the cafeteria. And so we don't have a full-size refrigerator, so we have to go in there to get ice and all that. Well, Jeffrey loves to go get ice with Daddy. Really, it's kind of a two-edged sword. I mean, typically what ends up happening is I end up carrying him, and then I end up carrying the ice, but he's helping Dad. And, and so oftentimes, he'll go down. And it was so interesting because right after he had fallen and all that kind of thing and fallen down those stairs and all that, it was so interesting because, hold the rail. And so he took about 2 steps down and he let go of the rail. And he scooted out to the middle. Whew, this is good. Daddy? Yeah, cubby. Jesus keeps us safe. He sure does. Now get back over there to that rail. And, you know, but it's, oh, wow. Jesus keeps us safe. Just a couple days before, he tripped and fallen down the stairs. But you know what he still believed? Jesus is going to keep me safe. Jesus is going to take care of me. Whew. I got to tell you, that's good theology. That's real good theology. And I learned something that day, and it was like, wow. We got us a smart little two-year-old, because he's right. He sure is right. I hope as we wrap up 2010 and look to 2011, maybe just something that was said today, maybe it'll be a kind of help to you as we kind of think about a little bit about how 2010 went, and, well, maybe we didn't obey as we should have. To be honest with you, we could all say that. None of us obeyed really like we should have. Not our Heavenly Father. We know areas where we struggled. I think we can also say, hey, you know what? We need to just make him our hope. We need to make him our dependence. We need to kind of readjust who we go to for help. And Lord Jesus, it's just going to be you from now on. And then I think thirdly, let's just live to please him. Let's just live to please him. Because you know what? My two-year-old's right. Jesus, it does keep us safe. And at the end of the day, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to be all about a life lived for him. Wow. I don't know about you this morning, but maybe let's push the reset button as we get ready for 2011 and maybe learn some lessons today from a two-year-old. Father, thank you so much again for the opportunity to look into your word today. Thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for just some simple lessons, Lord, from a little two-year-old. He doesn't understand everything for sure. I certainly don't, but we know the song Obedience, and we know that he knows who to go to for help, Father, he sure does love to please me. I wish we'd do the same thing. I wish we'd learn to please him as well. And so, Father, I would just ask this morning that in the quietness of this moment that maybe we need to make some decisions. It's Sunday morning, it's the day after Christmas, and all that. Let's set all those cares aside for now and just focus on Jesus Christ for a little while. And Father, my hope and prayer is that if there's someone here today that say, you know what, that's pretty interesting, but this whole thing about going to heaven and our Heavenly Father, I know what that's all about. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And Father, I know today that someone who comes in here today, not knowing you as their Savior, can become one of your children today. And I certainly would hope and pray that we see that happen today. And then, Lord, for those of us who are Christians, I think maybe we need to make some decisions this morning and maybe learn some things that a simple two-year-old, he's taught me. Lord, I trust and help. Hope it's been a help to others today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Could I just ask you something this morning? Are you sure that you're saved? We talk about our Heavenly Father. Is he your Heavenly Father? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Could I ask you this morning, the quietness of the moment, you say, you know what, Brother Raymond, I am sure that I'm saved. I do know that I'm on my way to heaven. And I raise my hand as a testimony to that. Would you do that right now, right where you are? You'd raise your hand and say, you know, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Very good. You can put your hands down. I can't see everyone, but I imagine maybe there was a hand that was not raised. Would you this morning, you know, say, you know what, Brother Raymond, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to. He's not my Heavenly Father. I can't think of a better time than at Christmas time than to make Jesus Christ your Father. Is there anyone within the sound of my voice this morning say, you know what, Brother Raymond, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I want to be. I want to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand just right where you are? I'm not going to come to you. We're not going to embarrass you, but I sure do want to pray for you. We want to give you an opportunity to be saved. Is there anyone like that at all? Say, you know what, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I want to be. All right, I don't see any hands, but you know what? Amen, thank you. God bless you. I see that hand. You can put your hand down. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? It's not for me to know, but the Holy Spirit, as he's working in your heart. We're going to have an invitation in a few minutes. I would invite you to come forward and take a worker's hand and say, you know what, I'm just not sure that I'm saved, but I want to be. Could I ask the rest of you, though, this morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, how about you? Could maybe my two-year-old, is some of the lessons that I've learned from him, are they lessons that we need to learn as well? How was your obedience in 2010? Really, really, let's be honest. How did it go? Were we really as obedient as we should have been? I dare say not. I know I haven't been. Who do you go to for help? Do you pick up the phone or do you get on your knees? Who do you go to for help? And then finally, do you live to please Him? Do you live to put a smile on your Savior's face? If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, I would encourage you to... We can certainly make decisions in our seat, but we're in a place of encouragement. We're with our family, and they would love to be able to pray along with us. But I would invite you to just come forward to an old-fashioned altar. Berean is known for its wonderful invitations of folks making decisions, and I hope today is no different. Would you, if you please, stand to your feet? And which song? 318. And open your hymnals to 318, and if the Lord has spoken to your heart, let me encourage you this morning. Let's come down. Let's do business with God. That's why we're here. Give me thy heart. Let's sing it together.